All right, here we go. Podcast number 7, I believe. We missed last week, so we're losing count again. Got me, Sam, here. Cincy, Royal on the line. Back to the three-way podcast. Growth.
Menage.
And we're going to be doing a little bit of tech recap.
It already got weird quick.
Got weird and hot quick. Yeah. Mostly some Nebraska preview though here is what we'll be doing. So, but real quick, I know it's a little late in the week and we beat it to death in posts and, everything else we've read throughout the week. But, Royal, you want to start us off? Just a quick, feelings on the tech result?
Yeah, I was actually really, really impressed. I didn't see that game going like that at all. As I, wrote in the article, I thought it was going to be a shootout in the way that we, dominated their offense pretty much all through the game except for those, you know, the two quick scores. But I mean, the entire second half, we only allowed them to have 3 points. And I mean, against an offense like Tech, I mean, I know that, you know, they're a little bit more down this year than in the past, but, you know, they still had a top five offense in the nation. So I thought that was really, really great. And it, I mean, just pretty much showed that Billy Young knows what he's doing. So just have faith.
Cincy?
Agreed. And I actually did see that coming. I'd like you guys to know.
What a dick.
No. You know, in all seriousness here, guys.
All right.
No, I mean, obviously, great game. And what's encouraging is that I think you're seeing the team kind of grow before your eyes. I mean, we're getting more comfortable. Dana's getting more comfortable running the ball. That was awesome to see him just pound the ball with Hunter and, with Randall. And you're seeing the defense kind of grow and mature. They're getting better each game. And that's a sick performance, man. God, I mean, 17 points to Tech in Lubbock. I would never have, dreamed, you know, that we would do that. This year, you know, or any year, really. It's just, it hadn't been the case. No one has really done that. So it was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was, I mean, without a doubt impressive. And I think, I don't know, I might have been there on the road, or one of us wrote it. I mean, I think the thing that stood out to me the most is overall, it was the first real complete game of the season, I felt like. I mean, sure, Tulsa, Washington State, you jump out early, beat them. I mean, that's just kind of an ass whooping that happens, but I mean, a game that we could have let them back into and kind of tried to, but you know, not anywhere along the lines of how we let A&M and Troy back in, obviously. But, I mean, got up big, finished the game, you know, stayed steady throughout the whole thing. And it really felt like the first complete game I've watched the team play all year. I mean, we could get into all the specifics we want, but I mean, that just kind of from an overall take, that's the most encouraging thing, I think, so. Now the question is, can we do the same thing to Nebraska? Can we stop the run game? Can they, and depending on what quarterback they have in the game, the passing game. And then on the flip side, can we move it against the top rate of pass defense in the nation? So, Cincy, you want to start us off? What you think? Let's start off with our offense first off. Can we move the ball running or passing versus the top rate of pass defense and an average-rated rushing defense?
Yes, I think we can. I think we can absolutely run the ball. They're fairly average run D. They've given up, you know, quite a few yards. They give up over 200 to Texas, who really hasn't been a great rushing team this year. So I think that's exactly what we're going to do. I think we're going to come out, we're going to run the ball, we're going to establish the run, and I think in doing that, we'll take some heat off of our receivers. We'll take some heat off of Blackman, Moore, Cooper. And, you know, there's no doubt it's going to be the toughest secondary we've seen all year. I saw a quote today from Dana Holgorsen, and he basically said he had watched 8 games of tape of Nebraska, and he did not see a wide-open man the entire time. So they play tight coverage. They're really good in the secondary, and he's gonna have to be disciplined. You know, you're not gonna be able to just throw prayers up and you know, hope that, that Blackman can come down with him. He's going to have to be smart with who he throws the ball to, and he's going to have to basically throw to what is truly the best option. And so I think they'll figure it out, though. Again, I think the running game will take some heat off of Wheaton, and I think our offense will roll, honestly.
I'm with that. Royal, can we move the ball? Can we score on the black shirt?
Yeah, I really do think so. I think that I don't know if we'll be able to move it at the same rate that we've been able to move it in prior games, but I think that our stats will look considerably better than other teams that have faced Nebraska so far. I think that, you know, you just have to measure it down a little bit. I think instead of Wheaton having, you know, a 300-plus yard game, if he has anywhere from 200 to 225 yards in there, that's pretty much the same thing in my eyes as far as success goes. Because, and I think a lot more of that, were what will determine his success in this game will have to do with limiting mistakes. Because I think as long as he manages the game, I don't think the yards he gets are going to be as important as security of the ball. So if he doesn't fumble the ball, if he doesn't throw picks, and he only has 200 yards and a touchdown or two, I think that's just as impressive of a performance to me than as anything he's done so far this season, just because how good Nebraska's secondary is. And I think the way we get that done is we have to run the ball, and we have to run a little authority. I think we have to be physical up front, and I think that we have to have the run set up the pass. The thing with Nebraska is they don't really blitz that much. They play a lot of man defense, and they just sit back and kind of force the offense to, you know, succumb to whatever Nebraska is going to do defensively. The linebackers and the secondaries play pretty much man, and they give a tiny bit of a cushion so that you get the ball, but then they, you know, jump on you after 3 or 4 yards. So I think Wheaton's going to have the time in the back to decide on what he wants to do, just like had it in Tech. And I know it was something that we saw that, you know, he'd be sitting back there for a bit, and we're like, what's going on? Why isn't he throwing the ball? And I think that's going to be the same case in this game, where we're going to be pretty well covered, and you're going to see Wheaton back there with enough time to make decisions. It's going to be a matter of if he's going to stay patient enough to not throw it into coverage and be able to find checkdowns and find other options, because that's what Nebraska will thrive on, is forcing him into bad decisions. But if we start with running the ball, and we make Nebraska adjust our offense as opposed to the other way around, I think that we're going to be really successful.
And that's that point, that's exactly what I think is going to happen and has to happen. It's, was it the first touchdown we scored on Tech where we didn't throw a single pass the entire drive? And it was the first or the second one, I don't remember now. I think it was the first one, where, it was 8 running plays in a row, touchdown, basically. And, I think that's what you have to start out doing. If they come out in that kind of hybrid nickel package they've been running all year, where they're, you know, leaving 5 to 6 guys back in the secondary, not really playing up that far, you know, like they have been all season. I mean, I don't see any reason you don't just pound it. And Dana has now shown that he's willing to do that. I mean, at least he did it last game, and that's what completely opened up the pass game, obviously. I mean, Tech had to adjust, and we'll have to make Nebraska do the same thing. I mean, if they start having to commit extra guys up, then the offense has basically done its job. We're moving the ball at that point. I mean, we're moving it in either way we want, on the ground, in the air, what have you. But, I mean, I think that was the biggest sign of encouragement last week, you know, to carry last week's stuff into this week is, you know, that all-run possession. I think we can just come right out of the gates doing that if Nebraska starts off in that, you know, 4-man line, 2 linebackers, whatever that set is they run. At least they ran a lot of it against Texas. I mean, it's pretty much a classic bend don't break defense. And, you know, like you were saying, Royal, they give the receivers cushion. They make solid tackles for the most part. They really didn't last week, but usually they're pretty decent tacklers. And, I mean, I think their defense is good, but I don't think it's the best in the nation like their stats show right now. And I think we'll move the ball. I think we'll cross 30 again. I mean, I just don't know that anyone can stop this offense from scoring that. Dana makes too many adjustments. There's too many talented guys on the field, and they got too many options is really the thing. It's pretty rare to watch a team anywhere when you're watching anyone on Saturday that has as many options as we do. you know, for different packages to run out of, different guys to get the ball to. And there's just not that many guys, not that many teams that have that. And I think we'll move the ball.
So you're saying we'll move the ball. Oklahoma State is going to break Nebraska's 14-game streak as not giving up more than 21 points. Did I read that? Is that right?
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I didn't even know they had that streak, but yeah. I think they will do that. Have they really not?
That's correct. I know it's 14 games, and it's completely made up, but it sounds good.
That sounds about right, actually. That does sound right. I think we will.
When was the game they got? It wasn't last year, I guess, when Tech.
Yeah. No, I know they've got a streak going that's 14 games, and I think it's either 21 or 24 points that they haven't been scored more than 21 or 24 in 14 games.
Pretty impressive.
So it's very impressive. It really is, considering, they play in the Big 12, and, you know, they've been to some bowls.
For the last year.
Yeah, basically the last year.
Getting sentimental. They're leaving.
Yeah.
All right, so what about us stopping their running game / if Zach Lee plays passing game, I guess, if they do some more of that. Royal, we gonna be able to stop Taylor, T-Magic? We gonna be able to stop him in the running game?
T-Magic. I think T-Magic's going to end up being fake, if I can say that right now. I think with the speed of our defense, I think Ori Lemon's going to have a 15-plus tackle game again. I mean, I know it's becoming routine for him, but I think with the way that our linebackers run from sideline to sideline and the way our safeties come up and hit hard, I really do think we're going to limit them. I don't think that we're going to be able to, you know, hold them like Texas held them by any means, because we can't really put five guys on the line. I don't think it works like that necessarily for us. But
right.
I do think that we're going to be able to close the gaps that not many other teams have been able to close, Texas being the only other one. And the other thing is, I don't think they're ever going to put Zach Lee? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to put him in the game at all. I think after last game, and even Bo Pinilla said that he thought that they may have made a mistake by taking out Martinez in the first place. So I don't think we'll see that. They may try to get Martinez to try to pass more, but that's what we want them to do anyway. So if that happens, I mean, and the only reason I would see them starting to pass more would be because we're up a couple scores. I mean, if we're only up 7, I don't see them, you know what I mean, doing it, going away from the game plan. But if it starts to get to a 2-touchdown lead and the running game isn't working like they hoped, it would, that's when I think you'll start to see more passes being thrown downfield. But as far as the overall running game goes, I think we'll be able to hold them more so than a lot of other teams will. He may still get, you know, 80 to 100 yards on the ground, but I think that at the end of the game, it's going to show in our favor that, you know, the running game really was stopped, and a big part of it was due to the OSU speed.
Yeah, and I mean, in their terms, stopping it is, I mean, 200 yards. I mean,
right.
I mean, when they run as much as they do, it's like a completely different definition of stopping the run. It's not like holding them to 120 or something. That's probably not going to happen, obviously. But
right, I absolutely agree. I think that if you can hold them to running, you know, 150 yards, I mean, to 200 yards even, I think that it's a very, very winnable game, just because that's their bread and butter. And if they can't get 200 yards on the ground, I don't think they're going to get, you know, 150 or plus yards in the air. They're just not that kind of offense. So
right, and they had 125 against Texas rushing, but I mean only 200 total. And I mean their whole game plan kind of fell apart last week, though. I don't know if it's the best game for comparison.
Yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably not the best game for comparison, just because the hopes and dreams of Husker Nation were resting on that one. Seemed to kind of collapse a little. And, you know, a lot of their game plan fell apart. But the one thing I do like to compare with it, though, is Yeah, we don't have Texas' defense. I mean, there's no way I'm going to argue that, but I think we've got at least close to the speed of Texas' defense. And that's really that's really what Nebraska matched up. That's how they ran over teams early in their non-conference schedule. They were playing slow defenses, slow linebackers, slow linemen, you know, slow secondary help coming up. And I mean, this defense of ours is so fast. I mean, there's just not a guy at a position that is slow for his position. I mean, I think we were talking about this before the call, but I mean, who's the slowest guy for his position on the field? I mean, is it Gent? I mean, Gent's still pretty freaking fast. And there's just not anyone that's
probably one of the fastest. I think Gent's really fast. He gets to the sidelines in a hurry.
Yeah, this year, that's true. He's a lot faster than what I think he's faster than I still think of him. But, I mean, that's kind of the point, though. I mean, who's even slow for their position? No one really is that's out there.
Everyone's fast.
I mean, if there's a weakness to our defense, it's not speed in any means or by any means. And that's really going to be the key to containing Martinez, obviously, is getting to those spots that other teams weren't able to get to, except Texas.
The other thing I was going to say is that the other thing I noticed in the Tech game that I think is going to really gives me confidence about this game was the open field tackling. I mean, seems like every single time someone got the ball, you know, even on like a 4-yard slant or out or anything like that, he was being tackled immediately and they weren't letting go. I mean, he was just swung down and that's what, you know what I mean? Like in this situation, when you have Martinez and, the other running back, I can't remember his name, but when you have them running the way that they are, when you have them running the way that they are, I mean, those open field tackles are what's really going to count. I mean, you know, a 3-yard gain isn't nearly as deadly as, you know, if you miss that tackle at the 3-yard and they run for 8 more yards. So that really impressed me at the Tech game, and I think that'll carry over into this game too.
Yeah.
You know, what I was going to say is I think the game is completely hinges on Taylor Martinez, if you're a Nebraska fan. I think they've pinned so many hopes on that guy. And I truly think that they looked at the first 4 or 5 games or so and really believed that the rushing attack of the Cornhusker Nation was back. And I think those hopes were just killed last week. And I think that's what you saw from Flaney by putting Zach Lee in. It was just panic. It was complete panic. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we get out to a lead, you know, like we did against Tech. If somehow, you know, we're up 14 points, 14 zip or 21 zip in the first half, I absolutely think Flaney will again hit that panic button and put Lee in. And I think it's going to be kind of a weird deal for the Nebraska fans because they had so many hopes kind of pinned on Martinez, and it could all just be over. I mean, it could, you know, and Pelini's going to have to make that decision because I think what people are kind of forgetting is that the kid is a freshman. He's 18 years old. You know, he's not going to be perfect. You know, he's going to make mistakes. He's coming to a stadium that can get pretty rocking. It's going to be homecoming. It's going to be loud. He's on the road. And he's going to be playing a good team. You know, he's not going to be perfect. And I think that's going to be key for OSU is getting in his head, you know, forcing a turnover, forcing a mistake, shutting him down early. Could have a huge impact just kind of on the mental toughness of Pelini and of just kind of the Nebraska team as a whole.
You kind of gave me a little bone there with that speech about homecoming. That was nice.
Good word.
I know. Yeah. I'm serious about my bone.
That's disgusting.
I was.
Thank you. Thank you. one thing you did bring up that's very true also. 2 points I want to expound on a little. They do like to put the ball on the ground a lot, which this Oklahoma State defense is pretty good at forcing those kinds of situations, one of their main focuses. They're up in the top something, 10 or so in the country, in forcing turnovers. Second part about Martinez being 18, he's 18 years old. He's not going to be any different than what we've seen already this year. You know what I mean? An 18-year-old kid doesn't develop in a week. And how many
right.
good passers, natural pocket passers, have been decent at a Division I BCS level as 18-year-olds, as freshmen? I mean, I don't know that there's ever been one. I mean, they thrust them into those situations, and they're, you know, kind of able to, you're able to see flashes of what they can do, but they make a ton of mistakes. And they're not going to come out, unless they play Lee, I mean, they're not going to come out and do anything different than we've seen. You just can't. It's not possible. And this Martinez really is some kind of freak. I mean, it's just not possible. He's going to come out and do the same things he's been doing, because it's got to be all he's capable of at this point. I mean, there can't be any surprises coming at the defense. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't think so. You know, I certainly hope not. I certainly hope he's not a freak that can, as an 18-year-old freshman, you know, go on the road to a top 20 team and all of a sudden, you know, look like Joe Montana.
Right.
After he hasn't shown that, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he was a freak, he would have shown it by now. He had 3 touchdowns on the entire year. And that was, and 3 interceptions. So, I mean, trust me, Nebraska would be passing the ball right now if they could be. I mean,
right.
there's no way in the world they would be running it without passing it at all if they had that option. And I think you're absolutely right, Cynthia, in the fact that, you know, if you get in this kid's head right away, it's going to fit with them just because of what happened to him last week. There's no way
absolutely.
In the world that's still not getting around in his head because he was benched. And then all of a sudden, now it's in his head that, oh, crap, if I play badly again, you know, I'm going to sit on that bench again. So if he fumbles the ball early, you better believe that he's going to be sitting there thinking about it just because of his age. I think that you hit the nail right on the head there. And on the other end of it, like you were saying, that they don't really make any adjustments, I think that's exactly what our guy's doing. And that also, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw new sets coming from Holgorsen in this game, just because he's just that kind of offensive genius where he's going to keep throwing new things at new teams.
Right.
You know, on that, do you think he was, this thought came to me today, do you think he was, all the work Randall got last week was a little bit of a tune-up for a heavy load this week? You know, if the receivers are covered downfield and Whedon, you know, doesn't have time to have that kind of safety valve that he can put, you know, get Randall one-on-one with a linebacker or a defensive lineman and kind of throw the little slant.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that and the fact that Randall was hitting holes hard last week, harder than Kendall was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were a couple of reasons. But, yeah, that those short passes out of backfield, I mean, obviously a key component.
Yeah. I think that could be a very big part.
Oh, yeah. I don't care how fast their secondary is, but anytime you're going to put a running back against a middle linebacker, I mean, running back's going to win. So, I mean, that's what's great about having Hunter and Randall in the backfield is that, you know, the linebackers have to choose somebody. They can't, you know what I mean, go out for them both. So Hunter, you know, goes one way, linebackers look that way, or, you know, just their focus gets taken into somebody who's on the slant, someone like Cooper, like Moore. And then all of a sudden you have Randall streaking right by the middle linebacker, and that's an easy 20-yard pickup right there. So I think that's a really, really big key, and we'll see if, you know, Holgorsen's able to exploit that.
Well, all right. Well, I think we've covered all the angles here, unless anyone's got anything at the end. I mean, I think my final verdict is I think we can move the ball. I think we're capable of stopping Nebraska. I think they will move it on us, though. I mean, I'm not going to come out and say that whatever ranked defense we are is just going to shut down their potent running game. I mean, I think they're going to be able to move it on us. A lot of it's going to depend on the ends and, I mean, the line in general and the outside linebackers keeping containment with that zone read crap they love to run and whatever other running plays they're going to mix in there. But, I mean, if they can do that, they have the chance to contain them, obviously. I think, once again, you know, everyone, especially opposing fan bases, seem to want to come in thinking they're going to shut us down. And we've seen it all year when we've kind of in the comment section with fans of the opponent we're playing that week, they're predicting scores of 21-17 and, you know, and then they see the stuff coming from our side of 49-44 or whatever. are going, oh, hell, what the hell are you guys thinking? We haven't had any games like that all year. Well, I mean, it just seems to be the way this team's going. So I think we're going to score. I think they're going to score a little. I mean, it'll kind of follow the same game plan we've seen all season, I think. Both teams will be moving the ball a little.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think it'll be a game in the high 20s to low 30s. But, I don't think either team is going to be able to absolutely lock down the other team. So,
yeah,
I agree with that. Cincy?
I'm going to go a little opposite. I'm going to say we
lose by 40.
We lose. No, I think we're going to win.
Do that without laughing.
I think we win. I do think that Nebraska will have an effect on kind of our numbers, but I don't think it's going to be drastic. You know, I think we'll score in the range of 24 to 30 points, and I think we're going to limit Nebraska. I really do. I'm going to say we limit them to. I'm going to go 24-13. That's going to be my final. And I think we'll give up a touchdown, you know, maybe a fluke kind of bomb from Martinez. But I think we'll control their running game. We might give up some yards. But I don't think we'll give up a rushing touchdown. And I think their kicker will get a lot of work this weekend.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty good for this week. Royal, did you have something?
Nope. Really
good.
Quick, yeah. Junior college defensive tackle Jonathan Jenkins. He's a 4-star. He's making his visit this weekend, and we are in his top 2, according to sources, with us and Ole Miss. So, yeah, it's pretty much a big deal for us to have a really good outing and for him to have a great visit, because we definitely need defensive tackle help. And
right.
Kid like that.
Where's
he
from?
He's a beast. I mean, he's a JUCO. I'm not sure which JUCO he's from, but he is, I think he's like 6'4", 340. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Nice.
Massive.
Need meat in the middle.
Yeah, definitely meat in the middle.
Gross. All right. Well, I think that's good. Go ahead. Go ahead and call that a podcast. Cowboys Ride for Free. Come join us in the game thread on Saturday if you're not in if you're not at the game in the data black hole.
Hey, no other news on that before we close it out.
Okay.
AT&T has 122 antennas or whatever towers in BPS.
Really?
It's no longer a black hole.
Did you hear why though? Did you
know? I did not hear why. I just got a snippet.
Okay. This is, I mean, I'm sorry, this is extending the podcast, but it's kind of, well.
No, I quit recording 20 minutes ago.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
No, they're trying to crack down on the drinking. They're making like a huge effort to, apparently the drinking's worse than it's ever been, like, or it has been in like the last 8 years to a decade or something like that. So they're now, instead of taking drinks away from people that they find, like alcohol that they find, they're kicking people out. They're going to start monitoring like underage drinking at tailgates and crap like that. And they're also putting in all those antennas so that if they see somebody drinking, they'll actually be able to call or text somebody, like the security guard next to that person.
Oh.
So they can actually tell them, you know what I mean, that person's drinking, you need to get them out of here. So that's the whole reason.
So
it has nothing to do with the fans, of course.
If there's a lesson to be learned here, I think the lesson is excessive drinking leads to getting things that you need.
Absolutely.
That's what you should take out of that.
I forgot the worst part. The worst part is that any game that is not going to be on television from now on is starting at 2 p.m., no matter what.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
going to
be
an
early training
people.
Day.
Well, again, that's the whole thing. It's like, do you guys not realize that people are going to get drunk regardless if it's 6 in the morning or 12 at noon? Like, it doesn't matter.
That's
it's
going to
be worse, yeah.
The non-televised. Non-televised games are always in the hot time of year too. It sucks.
Yeah, that does kind of suck. So if there's going to be TV, then it's normal rules. I mean, whatever the TV dictates. But if it's not going to be on TV, it's always going to be the game's going to start at 2. And there aren't very many happy people about that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's call this good. Enough tangents from you two.
Yeah. Fuck that.
All right. That was right for free. Out.